This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. Susie Lee and Laura Baginski were close friends back in high school.
We like little wannabe goth heads.
Nice.
Like nerdy writer goth heads.
Yes. They got that type of relationship that a lot of us have with our closest, oldest friend, where your lives are parallel in a way. You're both doing your own thing, but you're also really close.
We've been in and out of each other's lives for the past like 30 years.
Got you.
Like she did my hair and makeup for my wedding.
Okay.
You know, like she was at my baby shower. Like there's...
Okay, the milestones.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a couple homies like this, and I love them so much that I wish we had the time and energy and just a clear reason to see each other more regularly. Maybe even work on something together. Do you ever feel that? Like, what would our friendship be like if all this life stuff wasn't getting in the way? What if we could be close like we were when we were young and wild and free? Well, a little over a year ago, Laura and Susie created their own reason to lean deeper into their friendship. They launched this thing called Early Birds Club. Tell me about Early Birds Club. What is it? Give me the pitch.
The way I usually describe it is that it's a dance party for women that starts early and ends early because we all value our sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally for women our age, which is like inching up to 50. But, you know, there's plenty of like elder millennials in there. Like you.
This girl.
You know, there isn't a lot of nightlife options for people that want to be in bed by like 11 at the very latest.
Mm-hmm.
We both like to dance, but there's nowhere to go, really.
Nowhere that doesn't start after 10 p.m., you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
And that the music doesn't suck.
Now, they have only put on one single event back in February. And right quick, Early Birds Club became highly sought after.
Both of us have had some really tough times. I've had a lot of loss in my life, lost people who are very, very close to me. And feeling joy for like 3 or 4 hours where you don't have to think about anything like that, where you just are in the moment, feeling this communal mm-hmm. catharsis is so powerful. Other people felt it too. I mean, that's what people told us. They was like, this, the vibe was electric. Like, this is the start of a revolution.
Feeling completely free to be yourself, right? Like not being judged. I mean, my friend came in her pajamas and snow boots. Like some people came in sequins. We always refer to it as the unseen scene. Like it's not a cool scene. It's not a hip vibe or anything. It's just you go and you have fun.
Yeah.
So it's really freeing and it's really like a loving space.
Yeah. So I love this origin story that you all have for Early Birds Club. Tell me, how did this get started?
I kind of see the seed of it as at a Jessie Ware concert, and she's this amazing like disco diva. Everyone was dancing. Everyone was full of joy, just smiling, and I missed that from my life. I hadn't experienced that in a while, and it felt like a reawakening for me. So it got me thinking about how can I get more of that, and how can I share that with other people? And so Susie and I, not long after that, went to our 30th high school reunion, and true to form, I had a really, really dope playlist that we played all the way to the suburbs.
Give me some songs. What were, like, you know, the ones where you're like, this is the one.
Always New Order.
Yeah. We were just listening to Love Vigilantes on our way here. In Between Days by The Cure is a big one. And then Depeche Mode, we were both at that show in November. Reach out, touch faith. Texting each other the whole time.
She was just bummed that I got better seats.
She got way better seats.
Oh,
I was totally
at the
mad.
Last second.
Yeah. And we just started talking about music and just laughed. I think we laughed the whole way there and back. And she's knowing how, you know, the two of us went to high school together, and so we loved a lot of the same music. I knew music was very important to her. And so when I had this idea, and honestly, it just came out of kind of nowhere, for a dance party for women our age, I brought it to her just because I wanted to see if it was dumb or like anyone would come. Like, is this just the dumbest idea ever, or is there something there?
Yeah.
And she said, this is awesome. And are you just like bouncing this off of me, or do you want my help? And I was like, oh my God, of course I want your help. And so it went from there.
It's just something that kind of happened organically, and it's been growing organically. We're actually pretty surprised at how quickly it's grown and how much impact it's had on women.
Mm-hmm.
We get emails daily on, like, can you come to this town? Can you come to the suburbs? Can you come here? Like, we've really, really needed something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really out of the pandemic, women of this age, right, mostly moms, I would say, but not all, I think we struggled so much mentally and just trying to keep the household together, right? Like homeschooling these kids.
Yeah.
It was just a lot. And I think coming out of that, we're now seeing the mental health aspects of how it's affecting everybody. And I think women are now like, okay, I've done all this stuff. I've taken responsibility for all these things. Now what can I do for myself? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want another book club. I don't want to go to yoga. I don't want a mom meetup. Like, we need something just for us. And this is kind of the space that we're creating for women, because we're scratching our own itch. Like, this is what we need. Mm-hmm. And we're finding that a lot of women are really, really wanting this space too.
Yeah.
I think Susie said that really well. I think another thing for me is now that I'm a little bit past the really tough years of child rearing, I have two sons, 5 and 10. The 5-year-old is still giving me a run for my money. But as I'm out of the really young years, I and a lot of women my age are kind of like, well, who am I now? Like, I'm not this mom who is constantly taking care of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? What's my purpose? Like, what can I do now that's just for me? And for me, music is a huge, huge passion. I mean, I try to see a live show at least once a month. I would go more if I had more babysitters. but it fills me with so much joy. And for me, like, my female friendships that have gotten me through some really tough times, and music and dancing, to be able to combine all three of those passions is just amazing. I wake up every morning thinking about early birds. I go to bed thinking about it. And it's fun. We're having a blast.
Yeah. Susie, I'm a person who loves dancing. We can talk a little bit more about all of my dance capades after this, because I want to keep things fresh here. But I would love to hear you talk about what dancing does for you and how it feels when you're moving.
Well, you know, so I don't want to talk about this for too long, but I do have stage 4 cancer. So it is in my bones, and it's sometimes hard for me to move in certain ways and to walk or stand for too long. So, you know, when the song would hit me, I would stand up and dance to certain songs. I don't remember. I think Madonna was one of the songs. What was the
like
song?
A prayer?
Like a Prayer. Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's like women's anthem, right? Uh-huh. Hear me roar. But other times I just sat in a chair and I was dancing in a chair the whole time with my cane up in the air. And
she had lights on it, by the way.
I put bike lights on there.
So cool.
But it just, it brought out me, you know, like not my cancer, not anything that I went through, not my hardships, just me, pure joy, pure celebration of life. That's what it was, you know? And actually, like, I think I moved my upper body so much that by the end of the night, I had, like, muscle spasms, like, in my chest and my arms. I'm like, I didn't even know you can get, like, a spasm, like, in your chest. But it was so much fun, and I think I moved for the entire 4 hours.
Wow. Moving for 4 hours straight, a dance floor is, like, the, to me, the only thing that really lends itself to something like that.
It was a total workout.
Otherwise, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't want to be at the gym for 4 hours. I don't want to be on a hike for 4 hours. Like,
nope.
I only want to be dancing for 4 hours.
No, within an hour, Laura was, like, full sweat.
Yeah. Full sweat.
You've had just one event so far, which is just so wild to me because, I mean, Laura, you said you know, you wake up and go to bed thinking about it, which, you know, it feels such like such a presence in your life. But yes, it happened in February in Logan Square, sold out almost immediately. The next one coming up May 4th, already sold out also. So that means y'all need to just like quit whatever else it is that you're doing and just like plan these parties full time. Right.
Yeah,
basically, that's what we're doing.
I think we were so overwhelmed and surprised at the reaction.
Yeah.
The first one was just two like idiots throwing a party. And then after that, we were like, there clearly is a need for this. So should we do this? So now we're all in and we're planning months ahead. We have an event in June. We're planning for one or two in July. We're planning all the way out for the rest of the year. And that's taking up a lot of headspace, but we're super excited because we want to have every woman experience this, right? Mm-hmm. Like this energy and like finding yourself again. We just haven't found that anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a 550 person wait list for our May 4th event. So clearly there is a need. And
yeah, just have a May 5th event and then
right, just go through the night, sleep there, and then dance again.
Yeah. Do you feel like it could be lucrative enough to make it a small business between the two of you?
That is questionable.
Okay.
We're grappling with that right now.
Uh-huh.
We would like it to be. But it's funny, you know, so I have to remind myself sometimes that my work is valuable, like that we should be paid for our efforts. Sometimes I feel like gross about it, but also I'm putting in hours and hours of my life into this happily. But I, you know, I had to remind myself that I'm worthy of being paid for my efforts. So
that was not our initial reason for getting started with this. We didn't think about money. We didn't think about making money or like getting rich from this. We just wanted to create a space. And now that we're actually spending all of our time doing this, now we're trying to figure out how can we pay ourselves for the time that we're putting into this.
Tell me about that planning. You talked about, you know, it's taking up a lot of headspace to get this. Sounds like it's monthly, maybe a little bi-monthly. Mm-hmm. What does it take, Laura, to kind of from start to finish get this thing, you know, off.
You know, we don't have a lot of overhead. We have the two of us, we have the DJ, we have a photographer, and that's it. You know, so it does take up a lot of headspace to plan out because we want to tour all these venues. We want to make sure it's the right vibe. We're very, very careful about the places that we want to do this. We want it to feel intimate. This is not a huge event where, you know, it's assholes to elbows. Sorry, I don't know if you can say that. Where, you know, you're like just.
I've never heard that before.
No.
I've heard sardines. I've heard, you know, I've never heard. Oh, wow, God. That's a good one.
All right. We have very terrible potty mouths. So I'm impressed so far that we've kept it pretty clean.
I've been very conscious.
Yeah. We want people to go home and just feel, you know, feel it all over again.
Yeah. You know? You know, now this is like, I need a picture. Paint a picture for me. What are you seeing in the space for May 4th? Like, what does it look like? What does it smell like?
Mm-hmm.
What does it feel like?
So this next space, Color Club, is larger. It's twice as large as the space we had it at the Burlington. So it'll be 240 people. My cousin Helene will be up on the stage DJing. We will have merch there. This is the first time, like, we're wearing our t-shirts.
Oh, you're wearing
today.
Okay, all right, Laura, go ahead, describe that t-shirt for
okay,
me.
Okay, so this logo is an ostrich screaming with lovely, luscious eyelashes.
Yes.
That's kind of what we want to bring to this whole thing. Mm-hmm. We are weird.
Yep,
women,
we're definitely quirky.
And we didn't feel like going quietly, you know?
Yeah,
you know?
We still want to create. We still want to be a part of life. You know, we're not like dead in our souls yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We don't want to be put out to pasture yet.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why would you?
You know, society tells you one thing, that you don't matter anymore once you turn like 50. And, you know, this is kind of a lofty thing for a dance party again, but it is what we're thinking about when we do this, that there is a market for us there. You know, there should be nightlife options for us. And if there aren't, really, so we created it.
Yeah.
And, you know, given what I'm going through, it's also, we need to celebrate life, and we need to celebrate every day, every week, every month, every year. If I'm going to have gray hairs and like wrinkles, so be it. I'm going to freaking celebrate that, because every day counts. Yeah. You know,
absolutely.
We're here.
We're here.
Damn it.
Got my fist up. Susie Lee and Laura Baginski are the creators of the Early Birds Club. Susie, Laura, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
And as we said, the next event is already sold out, but you can go to their website and pester them for more events. Go to early-birds.club. And that's it for today. Thank you to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing The Rundown, and to Ariel Van Clee for editing the show. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you love the show, give us a rating, write us a review. If you write it on Apple Podcasts, we'll shout you out right here on the show. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.